Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
So today's story starts when I'm sitting in my office and I'm just looking out the window and having a desk day, which means I'm just doing paperwork. I'm preparing stuff for Patreon, for emotional intelligence. I'm doing some research. It's a pretty chill day. There's no clients. Sometimes I can get through a desk day with no messages from the spirit world. Not that day. But it didn't start that way. I didn't get them first. The phone rang and I looked at the phone because it's a desk day. So I thought, you know, people can go online and book appointments. I don't know why, Kelly, but I answered the phone and I did not recognize the number. And this gentleman says, hi, Karen. He says, my name is Lauren. He says, I hate to do this. Oh, and that's a made up name, by the way. Sorry. I usually start by saying we change the names to protect identity. I'm a little excited to tell this story. So his made up name is Lauren. And he says, Karen, he says, I'm sorry to do this. I know you have online booking. He says, I've checked it. And he says, but your system is set up that I can't book myself in for today. And he says, the soonest I can see you is tomorrow. And he says, I just thought I would pick up the phone to call you because time is really of a priority right now. It makes all the difference in the world. He says, so I need to see if you could see me today. And I realize this might mean that I'm considered an emergency call, and I don't really know if you'd consider me an emergency. He says, but I've been telling some people that I know what I'm going through, and they said to call you and just ask you. But they forewarned me not to tell you anything. He says, so I'm trying to beg you for an appointment same day, which is breaking your rules, clearly. And he says, but I'm not supposed to tell you too much in case you say yes. He says, so I'm just going to put it out there and tell you that you came highly recommended. I'm reaching out. Do you have the time to see me today between clients or whatever? And I said, well, I said, I'm having a desk day. And I said, I don't have clients booked today. I said, I'll take your name and your phone number and I'll call you back. I said, I would like to think about it. And I said, I'll give you a call in about 15 to 20 minutes. Would that work? And he goes, that's great. So I took down his name and his phone number and I hung up. And then I said to the spirit guides, what's happening? Like, what's going on? What's the time constraint? What do you guys want me to do? Is this like, nope, get back to your paperwork. What do you want? And the spirit guide said, well, we want you to see him and we're going to tell you what's going on.
Okay, can we pause?
Yes.
I really love this about the guides, and I love that clients or listeners are now hearing that, like, oh, when I call and tell her I need to see her the same day,
yeah,
she's going to exercise a boundary and ask the guides if she really has to see me today,
yeah,
or not. So when those people call and say, it's an emergency, I need to get in, and then the question ends up being, does he like me? Is he sleeping with another woman? Mm-hmm. What does he think of me? Like, we hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We know whether or not it's actually an emergency. And I will say that sometimes in those non-emergent instances, the guides will say, take them and kick their ass. So it's not necessarily that you're going to get in and hear what you want to hear. It's that the guides might say, okay, come on in. We're going to put you in your place here and talk to you all the ways that you break boundaries, talk to you about all the ways that you are dysregulated and what you actually need for your health. It's always going to be to take care of you, but it's probably not going to address the non-emergent issue that you think is an emergency.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly. I appreciate you explaining that to everybody. So the guide said to me, just take a minute, look around, do what you do, kind of thing. So I looked out the window, took my time, thought, okay, there's a pause in my desk day, so I'm just going to look around and do what they say. And then I look back across my desk. You know, there's three chairs in that room. So I look at the three chairs, and I see the shape of a man beginning to come in. And he's a much older man, and he looks extremely frail. And he says, I'm Lauren's father. And I said, oh. I said, are you the reason Lauren is in a crisis? Oh, absolutely. And he says, I'd like to talk to you. So I said, yes, go right ahead. What's going on? He said, well, he says, I want to give you some validations for Lauren, first of all. He says, we're in Canada. And he says, he's on one coast and I'm on the other coast. He goes, this is really important for you to know because it means that Lauren literally has to cross the entire continent.
Which, for anyone who's not geographically oriented, Canada is not a small country.
Oh, no. It's not like in Europe, which is going to take you an hour or two to cross a country.
You can drive 14 hours and still be in the same province.
Yes. So he said to me, his dad, he said he has to travel all the way across Canada. And he says, and it's far more complicated than even that because he says, I live remotely. He said, so even once he gets to an airport, I'm not in a major city. He goes, so then there's travel on top of that. He says, it's winter. So, and we're in snowstorms. He says, so he's also got weather to combat when he gets here, which might not even mean that he can get here right away. He might have to wait a couple of days for the roads to be cleared because it's not just highways, it's back roads. And he said, and there's another huge issue. He says, Lauren's son is handicapped. He says he has severe physical and mental and emotional challenges. And it requires that when he leaves to come and see me, he can't come with his wife, that his wife has to stay home and take care of their son. But it also means that they have to make all kinds of arrangements so that she gets some support because they lift him together. It requires two of them to do so much of his care. So they will have to make arrangements with friends because they can't afford to constantly come out here. And I said, what do you mean constantly? What do you mean? And he said, oh, he says, I've been sick for many, many years. So he's literally had these panicky feelings and come out to see me because they think I'm dying. He says, so Karen, I've had cancer. He says, and it's skin cancer. And he says, and I've had all the kinds of skin cancer. And then on top of that, he says, I've had other problems as well, other physical things. I've had COVID. He says, like, there are so many things. He says, I've had congestive heart failure. He said, I've had so many things go wrong in the last 9 years. So I took my pen and paper and I wrote 9 years. I wrote the skin cancers. I wrote all of these things down, Canada, cross country, all of that, so that I wouldn't forget, like when he called back. And he says, he wants to be there for me. He wants to be there for his mom. I said, oh, your wife is alive. And he goes, yes, like we live together. And he says, this is his biological mom. I'm his biological dad. So these, again, all this information, right? And he says, I'm in a really bad place. And I have been actually for at least the last 2 to 3 years where the people in the medical community justifiably so believe I'm at the very end. I'm at the, like, they're saying to her, call the family. And so she calls and he goes home and they make all these arrangements. And he said, so he says, this time, this is it. He says, I'm leaving. And I said, oh, I said, I don't like to tell, I don't like to do death. And he goes, I know that. He goes, but I am telling you. He says, I know it's one of your boundaries in your practice that you don't want to say when someone's going to die. He says, but my son really needs to know if I'm really at the end this time. You don't have to say I'm going to die in 2 days or I'm going to die in a week, but this is the last time he's going to make a trip out here. Mm-hmm. You can word it that way. And he says, but I also want to tell you that I'm not giving you the day or the time of my death. I'm telling you he can make it out here in time to see me. So it's not going to be today or tomorrow. But I am saying that this is that I'm doing my exiting now. And he and I said, what do you mean you're doing your exiting? Are you still verbal? Like, are you talking? And he goes, oh, no, I'm not talking. I'm in a coma now. And I said, have you been in comas before? He goes, yes, I have. And he said, this is why it looks so similar to past times. This is not the first time I've been this sick that I'm non-communicative, unconscious. He said, it's playing out the same way. He says, it's just that this time my body just, I cannot sustain it. So I said, are you happy to pass this time? And he goes, yeah. I said, so if your son cannot make it to see you, if he, his decision is not to be there, I said, what do you want me to tell him? And he goes, I want to thank him for all the times he came. He says, I want to tell him that I know that if he's staying on the other side of Canada, that he loves me. He says, and I want him to know that his wife does and that his son does and that they all wish that they had the money to be able to come and see me. They wish that all of the circumstances were different. He says, I don't need him to be with me right beside my bed to know that he loves me or that they all love me. They don't need to come and be with me for me to feel their presence beside me.
Yeah, I love that, especially not that it sounds like that this is the case, but if dad is to affirm that his wife is supported and has people there with her, then the son doesn't feel this like dire need to go also be there for mom. He could actually stay home where his support system is, know that his dad feels loved, know that his dad knows where he is, and that everyone does feel safe and loved.
Yeah, that's not quite the case, but that's beautiful that you're telling that because there will be people listening to this where what you just said really can apply to them and they can sit back whether they're in that situation of Lauren or they could be or they've been already and wondered.
Even, you know, when individuals like dad are able to say, I know they can't afford to get home, mm-hmm. and that's okay. I know it's not the case that they're not trying. It's not the case that they don't want to. I can feel the pull. I know they can't afford it and I love them. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's relieving for any soul or any human to hear those messages.
Yeah, because he's, like you said, Kelly, he's flat out saying, I know the reasons. And he's giving Lauren the reasons through a complete stranger.
Yeah. Doesn't everyone want to know that another person understands what's in their heart?
Yes.
That's what I hear when I hear this story.
Yes. Okay. So this is where this ended. And he just disappeared, like just as fast as
dad,
he showed.
Not the client. Okay.
Oh, the dead dad.
The dead dad. Okay.
Yes, he just disappeared.
Or the dying dad. Pardon me.
Pardon me. The dying dad. He wasn't dead. That's true. Yes, and that is confusing because you see them sitting in your chair.
Whether they're dead or alive.
Exactly. So he disappeared and I thought, okay, that must be enough information. So the answer is yes. So I waited till the end of my time because I thought, okay, I wanted to check in with myself too. Do I have things that need to be done?
Oh my God. Wait. Me. I forgot. The session hasn't even started.
No.
You're just debating whether or not you're taking the client.
Yes.
Right.
And then I thought, okay, the old me was a people pleaser. I would have picked up the phone immediately and I would have started immediately. And I'm learning. So I sat in my chair and I thought, okay, so I have this information. Lauren has asked. I know that I can do certain things for him that may help him make decisions, feel better emotionally, all of these things. So that's great. But I sat there and thought, okay, I need to look at my desk. I need to look at what I'm doing. Do I have any deadlines that I have to meet? What is the best time to see Lauren as a client? Which is a big deal for me because I didn't used to do those things. And now that's becoming more of the way that I see things. So I'm doing more of a check-in with myself to make sure that I'm in the right space in my mind and in my heart to do the session. So I called him back at the appropriate time and I said, okay, Lauren, I said, the answer is yes. I said, I can see you today. And I gave him the time I could see him and he agreed. And then he called back at the time that was good for the two of us. And I began by telling him what happened earlier after he made the phone call and that I just sat still and asked the guides. And he said to me, I really, really like that you take care of yourself. Well, you're also taking care of me and my dad. He said, I really appreciate that. So he goes, okay. He says, you go right ahead and you tell me what my dad has been saying. So I told him about the different types of cancer, the congestive heart failure, like all of the things that I've just said. The fact, like, pardon me, the facts of what country that they are in. And he looked at me and he said, don't you know I'm in Canada? Like, didn't it just show on my phone on the display when I called you? And I said, well, no. I said, like, your phone number could be a particular area code. I don't know the area codes across Canada. I said, I'm in Ontario. Oh, he says, I don't even know where you are. Like this. He says, For some reason I was making an assumption that you were right near me. I'm on the west coast of Canada. And I went, oh, that's interesting.
I wish I was on the west coast of Canada.
Don't we? I said, no, I'm in the middle of Canada. I'm in Ontario.
You're not in the middle.
Pardon me.
Oh, so many people just laughed at you right now.
Okay, so I'm not in center. I'm further.
Northeastern.
I'm northeastern. Yes. So anyway, so then he says, okay, what does my dad want me to know? I said, well, the question is, should you pack up and go see him? Oh my God. He says, yes, that's my question. And I said, it's not the first time. And so I went on to explain how many times he'd gone home, has dad been sick for 9 years, all the different illnesses that he had, what he had to go through at home with his son. And he just looked at me and he went, holy, he says, I cannot believe that you know all of this about me. He said, I thought I had to be in your house. I thought, he says, you know, when my friends told me to call you, I thought, what the hell can she tell me? She would have to literally be like in the same room as me to know all of these things, wouldn't she? And they said, oh, no. We live in all different kinds of places and we've all called her. There's a whole bunch of people that call you. He says, my friends. He goes, and they don't even all live in the West Coast. He says, so I never understood how you could do this if you didn't see me or you weren't in the same room or you weren't holding something that was my dad's. So he says, I've been running around the house. And he says, I'm sitting here and I'm holding something that my dad gave me. He said, because I thought somehow that if I was holding it, he goes, this is just silly, isn't it? He goes, I'm sitting here holding something of my dad's, hoping that you're going to get this. He says, it makes no sense. But he goes, go on, because it's just accurate anyway. And he says, I'm just going to put this down now.
I think it's still a beautiful thing to point out the leap of faith.
Yeah.
That, you know, some days I'm kind of like, oh, this is annoying. But most days it's like, okay, he had a limiting belief system about how someone like yourself or us could access another person's energy. Mm-hmm. And even with the limiting belief, he's like, what is the most I can do to make this thing that seems impossible possible so that two humans can connect, love, and help each other? Mm-hmm. I think that just illustrates the deepest desire that I think all of us have for connection.
Thank you. So I said to him, you know, that how many times the doctors had said that this is it. And that when you get that the doctors are saying it, you pack up and you go. And then it happens a couple of times and it's across an entire continent and you start thinking, what the hell? And even though they're doing their best and he's not faulting any of the doctors, it's just like, okay, are they right this time or are they not? What do I do? The money, like all of the stuff, right? And I said, so your dad is pointing out all of these things that you've gone through, all of these things that you still need to go through in order to go again this time. And he goes, and the answer, and I said, the answer is go. And he goes, so the answer is, this is the time my dad's dying. And I said, yes. He goes, can you tell me when? And I said, I don't do that. I said, that's my own personal thing I don't want to do. I don't want to be wrong by a day. I don't want to be wrong by 2 hours. I also don't want people to be scared of me going to the grocery store thinking.
I think people are anyway. and a lot of people just nodded their heads right now and laughed. The one instance where you did, if people are curious, go back and listen to the podcast called Fred's Party. I don't know what number it is offhand, but that was a really cool date of death situation.
Okay. I don't even remember.
Oh, I do.
Okay. Then Lauren's dad says to me, okay, so I do want him to come. He says, and he will be here in time for me to pass. Tell him that I'm not going to pass like today. Tell him I'm not even going to pass tomorrow. Tell him he's got time to get to me, because that's another key thing, is that he wants to know, does he have time? Or is it like he's got a call, he's got a pack, he's got to get in the car right now and go, and his wife has to just pick up the pieces because she's done this? Or can he help his wife get ready? Can he take his time so that he has a day or two to make the phone calls, to set everything up, maybe to go get some groceries, cook a meal?
Support.
Yes, like do all of these things. He says, so I do want him to know that he's got a couple of days. Like tell him he can do these things, but that he does need to get out here. I'm not going to make it past about day four. And he says, so he's got a day or two to play. So I tell Lauren that, and he's like, okay, this is good. I appreciate what you've done. I'm not holding you to the day four. He says, because I understand that you're saying you don't want to be held to that. It could be day five. He says, but you're saying it. And he says, and that's helping me prepare mentally that I will pack the suit. I will pack everything for the funeral. I will not expect my wife to bring it. He says, because in the past, I packed bags and I went running. And he says, and then I called my mom, my wife, thinking, could you bring a suit when you come out? And so on. My wife brought out a suit. Didn't need to. Dad still survived. Put added stress on my wife.
Not to mention deciding to come back home, right? The sadness and fear of like, okay, built up the anxiety of accepting that he's going to pass. And then that push-pull feeling of, okay, I got to go back to life.
Yeah.
With this unsure feeling of, will he pass the moment I leave?
Yeah. Yeah. Or on the plane on the way home, or when I get back to my desk at work, or... oh my goodness, yes, so much anxiety, eh? So his dad says, look, he says he's going to make it out here. He says, I need to give him some information for when he gets out here, because other things need to get taken care of. And he says he also needs to come out here, because since the last time he was here was a good 10 months, I think he said close to a year. He says, since he's been out here, the last time this all occurred, he says his mom is not doing as well as she's making out on the phone. Things are a shit show in the house. She can no longer hold up. It has been 9 years of caring for me. We are elderly. She is now way behind the eight ball, if you want to use like that expression, in that she's really not taking care of the house. Inside or outside, she's not asking for help. So he's going to arrive and take a look at things and go, what the hell has happened to mom? And she's isolating herself. She's not letting people come over and do things because she's ashamed, because this is not how we live. This is not how she wants people to think. Things are going down in the house. So since I've been moved into a care facility, she's let everything go at home, and she's trying to be at the facility 24/7 to be with me. So the house is falling apart. And he said, and it's been 10 months of falling apart. So it's dirty. It's surface stuff, but it's also some structural things that she's not taking care of. And part of it is that she just doesn't even know where to begin. She just, things are building up. So he says she really needs another person. It's not that she isn't mentally capable. So it's not that she's got Alzheimer's or that dementia's setting in. She's stressed out of her freaking mind.
And elderly.
Yes. And so I told this to Lauren, and he goes, okay. He goes, all right. He goes, that actually helps me tremendously. He says, Karen, he says, this just means that I'm going to bring some things. I'm going to pack longer so that I can actually stay and help my mom. He says, I'm not going just for a funeral. I'm going to say to my wife, maybe I need to go for 2 months. Maybe I need to make long-term plans here and really reach out to our community and say, I got to go for a couple of months to help mom. Or do I actually have to go get mom? And when dad passes, bring mom back to the West Coast with me. Mm-hmm. And he goes, so is this a situation where dad wants me to bring mom out to the West Coast? Like, I need to talk to dad. He goes, I need to understand some of this, because this is the kind of couple mom and dad were. He says, not who my wife and I are, My wife would make her own decision. But I know damn well when I get out there, my mom's going to be looking at me like, you help me make these decisions. And he says, and rightfully so, she's been through 9 years of trying to figure out dad's health issues. She hasn't even paid attention to her own. And that sometimes has been clear. Then we got things cleared up. Now you're saying that I have to go out there and that things are far worse than they've been before. He said, this is so helpful for me. He says, because I can also, if I'm going to go and stay there and I've got to do some big things to take care of things there, then I can pack appropriately. I can bring out my work stuff, he says, in an extra case, so that I'm not saying to my wife, can you fax me? Can you email me? Can you text me? He says, I can come totally organized. And that way my wife can really handle things at home without the added problem of me saying, and can you now be my assistant? He says, this is fantastic. He says, I'm just going to be totally prepared to go and work and to go to stay there for a while and to help my mom. So the last thing Lauren says to me is, does dad have anything else to tell me? He says, I'm ready to go. He says, you have given me everything I need and then some to take care of everybody that I care for and to take care of myself. He goes, because if I can't do it, everything's going to go to shit. He goes, so I so appreciate this. And his dad says, yes. He goes, the last thing I want to say to you is, I love you. He says, it is the most important message of all. And thank you.
Beautiful. You did a wonderful job. And I know how many people will feel grateful on his behalf that you chose to do this, that the spirit world chose to do this. I'm really proud of who you are.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.